I'm going to read to you, not the gospel, but I'm going to read to you the tail end of the Old Testament text, which is the basis for my sermon this morning. You may follow along if you'd like, beginning at verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justice. Let's read that together. But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God. This I consider the gospel for the day. There's only a couple saying that. That's a lot better. First two verses of the pulpit hymn. Father, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. These are thy holy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. For thy word is eternal truth. Amen. It is important to understand that these words were written by the prophet Micah for the 12 tribes of Israel, a people to whom these words should never have needed to have been written. For they should have known better. They knew God's expectations of them. And with their foggiest recollections, should have been aware of the many, many, many times that God had delivered them from their enemies, that they had been blessed historically over and over and over again by his divine deliverance, some of which are cited in that text from Micah. He brought them out of Egypt, the story of Moses, and so forth. And so Micah invites them to remember their history. And he accuses them, now divided into two kingdoms, the northern and the southern, one called Israel, one called Judah. He accuses them of forgetting who they were. He accuses them of sinning against the God who had delivered them and kept them safe. And he predicts that their kingdoms will fall. Micah then contemplates what action to prevent their downfall could the people take to appease their God who is disappointed with their behavior. So Micah, taking on the embodiment of the two kingdoms, as if he himself were the 12 tribes. What can I do to make amends? He asks. What can I do to make satisfaction for my sins? In Micah's words, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? He recalls the old way of doing things. And so he says, shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves, the old way? Shall I come before him, and will God be pleased with 1,000 rams or 1,000 miles of oil? What shall I do? What can I do to make amends? Shall I give him my firstborn for my transgressions? Remembering the Abraham Isaac story from their past, the fruit of my body for my sin. Will this satisfy God for my transgressions? Obviously, Micah knew his family history, burnt offerings, the story of Abraham and Isaac, and mulls over these as possibilities. And then further recalling his family's history, as to the true nature of the God who had been dealing with them for some, let's say, about 1,500 years, from the calling of Abraham and Ur, Micah unveils what would be the acceptable offering. What was it? He concludes, he doesn't say it, but it was a change of heart. A change of heart. In Micah's word, God has told you, O mortal, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. Do justice. Do acts of loving kindness and walk humbly among the nations with your Lord. Here Micah proclaims what God wants, what God's desires are of his people. It's not stuff. It's not stuff. But God wants Israel and Judah to change their hearts. Do what you know is right in your heart. Do justice. Be fair. Be honest. Live with integrity. Do what you know is right in your heart. Micah pleads, do acts of loving kindness. Be a friend. Be a neighbor. Be an encourager. Be a helper. Do what you know is right in your heart. Walk humbly. Put others before yourself. Listen. Be patient. Don't rush to the front of the line. It's difficult for me. And I said this at my first service this morning. This is perhaps the hardest sermon I have preached since I've come here 5 months ago. And might just be the hardest sermon I will preach until I leave. So hang on. It's difficult for me not to think about our nation as we traverse through a most unusual time in our history. It's not that I haven't been there before. As a pastor called to apply the scriptures to what is happening in our real day world, that's what a pastor should be doing. I remember 4 assassinations when I stood in the pulpit and how I had to try to make sense of that for my people who were suffering and not believing that we could assassinate JFK and just shortly thereafter RFK, not RFK, but Robert Kennedy. And then after that, Martin Luther King. I had to speak from the scriptures about that stuff to people who were hurting. John Lennon, what a gifted musician, laid dead by a bullet. The attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan. Sometimes it's difficult to stand in the pulpit and try to make sense scripturally from what is happening in the real world. It's not that I haven't been there. There's been a lot of difficult stuff. I've been doing this for some over 50 years, with which I've had to deal with Vietnam. People on one side of the church in favor, people on the other side of the church against. And what does the scripture say? Conscientious objectors. I had a wonderful young man come to our church in Vancouver, Washington, and announced himself as a conscientious objector. And instead of making his way to Canada, he offered himself to the government to work as a legal aid assistant in Portland. A wonderful man, the son of one of our professors from seminary. He won the hearts of our people. And I still communicate with him this day, a retired law professor from the University of Iowa. I had to deal with Mama Rosa Parks. People on one side, people on the other side. Gloria Steinem. Abortion. Gay rights. And today, a deeply divided nation, politically, racially, sexually. I try I try to be nonpartisan in the pulpit. I try to be nonpartisan out of the pulpit, especially in public, maybe not when it's one-on-one. I tend to listen rather than speak. However, there are times when I feel compelled to speak, and this morning is one of those times. This morning I speak not politically. I don't do that from the pulpit. This is not political. It is theological, as it may relate to the politics of the day. And so I plead with you not to mistake what I say today as political, but try to give me the benefit of understanding it as something very theological and very scriptural. It's no secret that lots of people live with a mantra of me first. Seldom do I ever hear anybody say that. They don't have to say it, because you can see it by the way they live. And today, we have a president who literally says it. America first. And it rubs me wrong. It hurts me when I hear our president speak like that. It hurts me when I hear anyone say that. I find myself not wanting to be a part of such a focus. Such self-centeredness violates the scriptures to which I adhere. So when I hear our president say, America first, it's sort of hard for me to get excited. And I find myself scared. Scared by his choice of words, because I'm not sure what he means by those words. And I can only take them literally, for words in themselves do have meaning. To accept as a goal for our nation an inflated egotistical view in our global society that it's only America that really counts turns off, because it runs counter to my theological, my scriptural beliefs and moorings. Please don't turn me off. Listen me through and don't make mistake. And don't mistake this as something political, because it's far more important, far deeper than that. I long and pray for a successful presidency for Donald Trump. Obama, President Obama, publicly said the same. I don't think there's anyone who would want the next 4 years to be a big, messy failure. Democrat or Republican, Donald Trump is our president, and I wish him well. But I'm sorry and sad about his choice of words. It's as simple as that. America first? America first is scripturally wrong, is morally wrong, is common sense wrong, and breeds global speculation of the land of the free and the brave. While at the same time within our own borders, the America First song is causing divisiveness amongst us for no good reason and serving no good purpose. Theologically, there is something drastically foul in the view that America should be first in the world. Let me illustrate. It was Nazi Germany who put themselves first. intent on creating in their eyes the perfect Aryan race? Didn't work. Putting themselves first. Let me be clear. It was communist Russia who put themselves first, determined to convert the entire world to communism. And it didn't work. And sooner or later, I predict it will be communist North Korea whose Achilles heel is their inflated opinion of themselves. And they too, I predict, will one day take their place in history as a nation where egotism was their downfall. I may be wrong about this, but I don't think America's mindset has ever been to be first, to the exclusion of everyone else. And God forbid that we pursue that as a goal. Instead, our goal has always been to be a benevolent country, to stand with and support emerging democracies, to stand with and support what we miscalled third world nations, and to partnership with nations of like mind and like spirit instead of angering them. Perhaps there needs to be some adjustments in some of the things that we do. I'm not against that. For sure, there needs to be change and improvement, and we never do everything right. Neither party can claim that. And perhaps we need to look at our benevolent ways in terms of our foreign support of foreign countries and make some adjustments there. That together both parties can sit down and say, yes, no, let's do this and let's not do that. Somehow working together through thoughtful and mindful and wise administration, working out a foreign aid program that is not only good for those to whom it is given, but also good for us who give it. Having said that, let's bring it home. Let's bring it into this room. Let's bring it home. Me first thinking is everyday present in me. I was born with it. My baptism didn't wash it out of me. My affirmation of baptism, my confirmation when I knelt at the altar and promised to live my life for Jesus the rest of my life, didn't rid me of it. It's called original sin. At times causing me to do what I know I shouldn't do. And at other times causing me not to do what I know I should do. Simple as that. I've got me first in me. I've got it. I can't get rid of it. I'm forced to live with it. It's who and what I am. I am by nature sinful and unclean. It's my inborn nature. It's a me first thing called sin. But thanks be to God, He knows I've got it. And has told me that he can help me with it. Confess your sins, and I'll forgive you your sins. Is the help he offers. But if it goes unattended, a me-first view of life puts me in conflict and puts me at odds with what I know God wants me to be, a sinner yet saint. I haven't used this term forever. It wasn't my first sermon. Simulus Epicotor, sinner yet saint, sinner yet forgiven. The first commandment God gave to Moses was, you shall have no other gods. And Martin Luther says that that means that we are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Me first thinking goes against that commandment. America first thinking goes against the first commandment God gave us. It's contrary to walking humbly with God. And then God's Son, Jesus, said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And then you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The only way I want America to be first is the same way and wish Micah had for his family, the 12 tribes. He wanted them to return to the Lord, their hearts, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly. Let that be a goal for the church, our church. Let that be a goal for every one of us in this room. Let that be a goal for everyone listening on the radio. That our desire is to do justice as we walk the streets of Petersburg, to be fair, to be honest, and to live with integrity. To do acts of kindness, to be a friend, to be a neighbor, to be an encourager, to be a helper to those who need help. Let us walk humbly before God, listening with patience and putting others first. I hope and pray. Oh, I hope and pray that our president, that our Supreme Court, and that our Congress can figure out a way to get us out of this divisive situation that we as a nation find ourselves in. I pray that they might find a way to heal our nation of its current unrest, seeking justice, being kind and loving, and walking humbly in our global society. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us when we forget who we are, sinners who have been forgiven, sinners and saints. Sometimes remembering who we are and sometimes forgetting who we are. Help us as individuals, as a church, and as a nation to be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 3 and 4. Surely is
thy spirit.